Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive.
Always fun to do these.
This time, we're taking a look at power dynamics,
Ooh, fun.
and we're going to be focusing on this YouTube audiobook excerpt of Robert Greene's The 48 Laws of Power.
Interesting.
So, it's basically this playbook for how to wield influence
I like it.
and also how it can be used against you and how to sort of protect yourself from that.
Yeah, Greene's work is so fascinating because it connects the historical dynamics
Right.
of royal courts. Like, if you think back to kings and queens and all that stuff,
Yeah.
with the power plays we see today in modern life,
Right.
I mean, sure, the setting's different, but the
Yeah.
game's basically the same.
So you're saying that even though we're not like maneuvering in the court of Louis IV,
Exactly.
these laws are still relevant today.
Absolutely.
I'm ready to hear how these historical power dynamics play out.
Let's look at Cesare Borgia,
Okay.
this ruthless figure from the Italian Renaissance. So when he conquered a city, he spared this young prince Manfredi, allowed him to stay at court.
Okay.
Weeks later, Manfredi turns up dead.
Oh, wow. So it's like a Shakespearean tragedy.
Right.
Why spare him only to have him killed later?
Borgia knew that Manfredi's charm and his popularity posed a threat
A threat to him.
to his own image.
Interesting.
You know, it teaches us to be aware of the power dynamics at play and how your talents might threaten those above you.
Oh, so it's not just about being skilled and capable.
That's right.
It's also about managing how those in power perceive you. Are
Exactly.
you saying sometimes it's better to like strategically downplay your strengths?
Right. Sometimes flying under the radar
Yeah.
can be a smarter move than trying to outshine everyone.
Right.
And this leads us to another principle, concealing your intentions.
Okay, this sounds intriguing. How
Yeah.
can you conceal your intentions without seeming sneaky?
Well, Greene uses Otto von Bismarck as a prime example. Bismarck was the architect of a unified Germany.
Right.
So in the mid-1800s, there was immense pressure to go to war with Austria.
Hi.
And Bismarck, who was a supporter of Prussian power,
Hi.
surprisingly opposed the war.
Okay, that seems kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Wouldn't war have expanded Prussia's influence?
Right.
What was Bismarck's strategy?
He knew that going head to head with Austria then would be a disaster for Prussia.
Okay.
So his public opposition bought him time
Yeah.
to strengthen Prussia and to weaken Austria's allies.
Oh, wow.
Eventually, when the conditions were right,
Yeah.
Prussia went to war and they won decisively.
So by hiding his true intentions,
Yes.
he actually orchestrated a much better outcome.
That's right.
What can we learn from this?
Well, Bismarck teaches us that sometimes you have to play the long game,
Right.
creating a smokescreen.
Okay.
Even advocating for something you don't believe in can be a powerful way to reach your goals.
So it's about being strategic and
Yeah.
realizing that sometimes the direct path isn't the most effective one.
Exactly.
Understand.
Sometimes the best smokescreen is a totally unrelated object of desire.
Okay.
And this leads us to Yellow Kid. Weil, this fascinating con artist,
Interesting.
Weil wanted to con this millionaire,
Okay.
but he knew that going straight at him wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So he created this really elaborate scheme with a fake land sale and a rigged boxing match.
A rigged boxing match. How'd they pull that
Yes.
off?
He basically offered this millionaire the chance to buy a hunting lodge in Michigan
Okay.
at a ridiculously low price. While the
Well,
millionaire was, doing the math,
yeah.
thinking about the profit,
Yeah.
Weil introduces the boxing match,
Great.
even gets the millionaire to place a bet with the money he was going to use for the lodge.
Oh, wow.
And of course, the match was fake.
Yeah.
Weil's boxer pretends to die.
Oh, my God.
Everyone panics. The millionaire runs off,
And leaves his money.
leaving his money
My
behind.
God.
So that land sale was just a distraction,
It was all a setup.
a red herring to hide his true intention.
So this is all pointing to like a common theme here.
Yes.
Saying less can actually give you more power.
Think of Louis IV's court.
Right?
The most influential figures weren't always the loudest.
Right.
Silence and brevity,
Yeah.
they create an aura of mystery
Right.
and they force others to try harder to figure out your intention.
It kind of shifts the power dynamic,
Exactly.
makes them come to you for answers.
Yes.
They're filling in the blanks
That's right.
with their own assumptions.
And that brings us to the power of reputation.
Okay.
This is like an invisible shield.
Interesting.
Greene tells the story of Zhuge Liang, this brilliant Chinese general,
Okay.
facing a much larger army in battle. He orders his troops to hide, opens the city gates, and calmly plays his lute on the wall.
He was bluffing.
Yes.
He was playing on how the enemy saw him.
Exactly.
He was so confident they thought it was a trap.
Right.
And they retreated.
Yes.
Wow, he won without a single soldier being lost.
That's the power of a strong reputation.
It shows how important it is to build up a reputation.
And defend it.
Actively defend
it. Absolutely.
So it's about creating an image that works for you.
Yes.
Even when you might be feeling vulnerable.
Exactly.
And I imagine a well-crafted air of mystery
yes.
can make that reputation even stronger.
Absolutely. Think of Mata Hari.
Okay.
She was an exotic dancer who captivated Paris in the early 1900s.
Okay.
She was constantly changing her backstory.
Interesting.
Creating this enigma around herself.
So it made her even more captivating.
Yes, and influential.
So it's about making people want more.
Yes.
They can't figure you out.
Exactly.
So you hold the power.
Right.
But we've been talking about appearing strong.
Yes.
Is there ever power in appearing weak?
There is.
Really?
It might seem counterintuitive, but the surrender tactic can be incredibly powerful when used strategically.
Yeah.
Think about Bertolt Brecht, the German playwright.
Okay.
During the McCarthy era, he was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee.
Oh, wow.
Instead of fighting back,
yeah.
he pretended to cooperate.
Interesting.
Gave vague answers, even pretended to struggle with English.
He was putting on a show.
Exactly.
Disarming them by pretending to comply.
That's right.
So what happened?
Well, it made the committee look foolish, and he avoided serious consequences.
Wow.
It shows the importance of choosing your battles carefully.
Okay.
Sometimes surrendering can be a way to take control.
And achieve your goals.
Exactly.
That's amazing. It's like using your opponent's force against them.
Precisely.
But is there a danger in isolating yourself too much to protect your position?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Green uses Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of China, as an example.
Okay.
This guy was obsessed with immortality.
Really?
And he isolated himself in this massive fortress.
Oh, wow.
Becoming cut off from his advisors and information.
He basically trapped himself.
Yes.
Even though it was meant to protect him.
Exactly.
So what's the lesson here?
Well, isolation can make you vulnerable.
Makes sense.
You need to cultivate a network of allies. Stay connected to what's happening around you.
So it's like a balancing act between protecting yourself and staying connected.
You can't be too open.
Right.
But you can't be too closed off either.
And lose touch with reality.
Exactly. And that brings us to mastering your emotions.
Okay.
King Gujian of Yu was captured and humiliated by his enemy.
Uh-huh.
Instead of taking revenge right away, he endured years of humiliation.
Oh.
Studying his captor, biding his time.
So he was playing the long game again.
Yes.
Waiting for the perfect moment.
He eventually caught his enemy off guard.
And reclaimed his kingdom.
That's right.
So it's about controlling your emotions.
Yes.
Not letting them control you.
Exactly.
This has been a really insightful look at some of these laws of power.
Yeah.
What other hidden dynamics are we going to be uncovering?
I can't wait to tell you. Welcome back to our deep dive. We've been talking about hiding your intentions, mastering your emotions, even using surrender as a tactic.
Right.
But now I want to talk about something else.
Okay.
Leveraging the work of others to move yourself forward.
Oh, so it's not just about being smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
But using their strengths to your advantage.
Exactly. Like the saying, success has many fathers, but failure is an orphan.
I like that.
Green uses Nikola Tesla as an example.
Okay.
You know, Tesla was a brilliant inventor.
Right.
But he insisted on doing everything himself.
Really?
From coming up with the idea to carrying it out.
So it limited his impact.
It did, because he wasn't willing to collaborate or delegate.
Sounds like a classic control freak.
He probably felt like no one else could match his vision.
Right.
But then you have Thomas Edison.
Okay.
Maybe not as brilliant an inventor, but a master collaborator.
Oh, interesting.
He knew that to win in the game of power, you need to recognize and utilize the talents of others.
So be a leader who can inspire and direct the efforts of others.
Exactly. Instead of trying to do it all yourself.
Right. So it's about amplifying your reach.
That's right.
And this leads us to the next law, making other people come to you.
Okay. So it's about setting a trap.
Yes.
And letting them walk right in.
Right.
Controlling the situation.
Drawing them into your web.
But how do you do that without being manipulative?
Green uses Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
After his exile to Elba.
Uh-huh.
Everyone feared his return.
Yeah.
But Napoleon's enemies played right into the hands of his former foreign minister, Talleyrand.
Talleyrand. I thought he was on Napoleon's side.
He was, but Talleyrand had a deeper game in mind.
Interesting.
He understood Napoleon's ambition,
Yeah.
and he subtly encouraged Napoleon's escape,
Really?
knowing that Napoleon would be drawn back to France.
By the promise of power. To
Exactly.
use Napoleon's desires against him.
Precisely.
But what was Talleyrand's goal?
He knew Napoleon's return would destabilize Europe, lead to another war.
Which France would lose?
So he was playing a longer game,
Yes.
using Napoleon as a pawn.
That's right.
So understanding someone's motivations can let you predict their actions
Exactly.
and use it to your advantage.
Like chess, always thinking several moves ahead.
Speaking of strategy,
Yes.
what about arguments?
Yeah. Green's ninth law.
Okay.
Win through your actions, never through argument.
Interesting.
Words can create resentment.
Right, especially in the heat of the moment.
Exactly. You might win the argument, but you damage the relationship.
So pick your battles carefully.
Yes.
Sometimes it's better to walk away and let your actions speak for themselves.
He uses this example of a block of marble in Florence,
Oh.
this massive block that had been abandoned after a sculptor made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
A lot of artists were afraid to touch it.
Oh, wow.
Finally, Michelangelo was commissioned to work on it.
And he turned it into the David.
He did. He let his actions speak for themselves.
So powerful.
Instead of getting caught up in debate, he created something incredible.
It's about focusing on what you can control.
Exactly, what you bring to the table.
And what about those people who just seem to attract negativity?
Ah, yes, the infectors,
We all know them.
the energy
Yeah, the
vampires.
drama magnets, the perpetual victims.
They can bring you down with their negativity.
It's true.
Law 10,
Okay.
avoid these people.
So it's okay to distance yourself from people who bring you down.
Green argues that protecting your own energy and well-being is crucial.
Okay.
He uses Ludwig II of Bavaria as an example.
Okay.
This king surrounded himself with unstable and dramatic people.
I can see where this is going.
His reign was chaotic, and he met a tragic end.
So he became a victor of his own bad choices.
He couldn't tell who was good for him.
It's a reminder that we have to be careful about who we surround ourselves with.
That's right.
Create a positive and supportive environment.
Choose your circle wisely. And this connects to the next law, creating dependencies.
Dependencies.
Yes, law 11,
Okay.
making yourself indispensable.
So making others rely on you?
Exactly. Green highlights Bismarck again.
Okay.
When he first entered Parliament, he was unknown. He realized to gain influence,
Yeah.
he had to make himself essential.
So he became the go-to guy?
Yes, the one everyone needed.
Okay.
He became the essential intermediary,
Interesting.
the one who could bridge divides and make things happen.
So valuable that others had no choice but to rely on him.
Precisely.
But isn't there a danger in giving away too much of your knowledge?
It's a valid concern.
Yeah, like if you teach people everything you know, won't they become your rivals?
The key is to find the sweet spot.
Okay.
Sharing enough to be valuable, but not enough to be replaced.
Be helpful and resourceful,
Yes.
but also protect your expertise,
It's a
a
balance.
crucial one to master.
And sometimes the best way to show your power is through generosity.
Generosity.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about power dynamics.
I know it seems like the opposite.
Yeah.
But Green says strategic generosity can be a powerful tool. A well-timed gift or favor can create obligation.
Right, like they owe you something.
Exactly. And that influences their actions.
So it's like an investment.
Yes. You put something out there expecting a return.
I see.
He tells this great story about a con man, Count Victor Lustig,
Okay.
who approaches Al Capone.
He tried to con Al Capone.
He did. He was bold.
That's crazy.
But Lustig knew that even criminals have weaknesses.
Right.
He took $50,000 from Capone,
Okay.
and later he came back saying the deal fell through, apologized, profusely returned the money,
Wow.
saying he was too honest to keep it.
He played the honesty card.
Capone, impressed by his supposed integrity, gave him $5,000.
As a consolation prize.
Exactly.
So by pretending to be honest, he
Yes.
got Capone's trust.
And a smaller but guaranteed payout.
That's brilliant.
A seemingly selfless act uses a calculated maneuver.
It shifts the power dynamic by
Yes.
making them feel obligated.
Precisely. And this brings us to the past,
Car.
how history plays into power dynamics.
The past can feel like a burden,
It can.
but also a source of wisdom.
Like standing on the shoulders of giants.
I like that.
Green says understanding the past is crucial,
Okay.
but we shouldn't get trapped by it.
Right.
When the Persians invaded Greece,
Uh-huh.
the Athenian general Themistocles,
Okay.
he needed to persuade the Spartans to help.
So the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes, but Themistocles went further.
Okay.
He reminded the Spartans of a time they asked Athens for help and were refused.
Oh, wow.
He said this was their chance for redemption.
He used their past mistake to motivate them.
And it worked.
Really?
The Spartans joined forces with Athens.
And they defeated the Persians.
Yes, they were moved by his argument.
So even a negative event from the past can be used to achieve something.
That's right.
It's all about how you frame it.
Exactly. And this leads to Law 13.
Okay.
When asking for help, appeal to self-interest.
Not to their mercy or gratitude.
People are more likely to help if they see something in it for them.
Makes sense.
When the Mongols threatened China, this scholar named Yelü Çukay saved his people.
How?
By appealing to Genghis Khan's desire for wealth.
Interesting.
He said sparing the Chinese would allow for more taxes.
He turned a massacre into a business opportunity.
He knew appealing to mercy wouldn't work.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with Genghis Khan.
Exactly. He understood his opponent's motivations.
And achieved the impossible.
And this leads us to gathering information.
Information is power.
Yes. But how do you get it without being unethical?
It sounds like a spy movie.
Law 14 is about posing as a friend while working as a spy.
Interesting.
The art dealer Joseph Duveen wanted Andrew Mellon as a client.
Okay.
Mellon was notoriously reserved.
Yeah.
So instead of going directly to him, Duveen befriended Mellon's niece.
A back channel.
Exactly, to gain access to Mellon's world.
But didn't he betray the niece's trust?
He valued their friendship, but he also saw the advantage.
Right.
He learned about Mellon's personality and tastes.
Through the niece.
And he used that to win Mellon over as a client.
So he used his social skills to get information.
Without being unethical.
It's about being observant.
Yes.
Realizing that even small details can give you an advantage.
And speaking of advantage, Law 15.
Okay.
Crush your enemy. Totally.
That sounds intense.
It does.
Is he saying to completely destroy them?
Not necessarily, but he is saying a wounded enemy is more dangerous
than one who's been defeated.
He uses the rivalry between Shang Yu and Liu Bang, these Chinese generals.
Okay.
Liu Bang defeated Shang Yu, but let him escape.
He showed mercy.
And it backfired.
Now.
Shang Yu regrouped and kept fighting, costing Liu Bang time and resources.
So sometimes you can't afford to be sentimental.
Green says, in the world of power, you have to make tough choices.
For the sake of peace.
And stability.
It's about understanding the long-term consequences.
Exactly. Now let's talk about absence. Right. Law 16.
All right.
Use absence to increase respect and honor.
So the less available you are, the more valuable you become.
Familiarity breeds contempt.
I've heard that.
Louis XIV knew this.
Okay.
He controlled his appearances, made himself scarce.
So people wanted his attention.
Yes, because it was rare.
Classic supply and demand.
Exactly. The less there is, the more valuable it becomes.
So it's not just about what you do.
That's right.
But how you manage your presence and absence.
And this ties into unpredictability.
Okay, but how can you be unpredictable without being erratic?
It's about being deliberate.
Okay.
Not random, but keeping people guessing.
I see.
Think about the chess match between Bobby Fischer and Boris Spassky.
That was an intense match.
The Cold War played out on a chessboard.
That's one way to put it.
Fischer was known for unconventional tactics.
Right.
He'd make these illogical moves early on.
Uh-huh.
Play mind games.
Like what?
Show up late.
Oh, wow.
Complain about the conditions. He was a master of disruption.
He was. And it worked.
It did.
Spassky, known for being calm and methodical, got completely unnerved
by Fischer's behavior.
He started making mistakes.
And Fischer won.
Yes. He kept Spassky off balance.
So a powerful example of disrupting expectations.
To gain an advantage.
But while unpredictability can be strategic, there's also that danger of isolation.
We've talked about that.
It seems weird that someone in power would choose to be isolated.
But it happens.
So what does Green say about this?
Law 18.
Okay.
Don't build fortresses to protect yourself.
Interesting.
He tells the story of Qin Shi Huang again.
The emperor obsessed with immortality.
Yes. He built this huge palace.
Uh-huh.
Protected by an army and secret passages.
Trying to keep death out.
In a way, he was, but his isolation made him vulnerable. He was cut off from information and contact with the outside world.
So he became paranoid.
Yes. And susceptible to manipulation.
Did he ever achieve immortality?
No. He died under mysterious circumstances.
Wow.
Possibly poisoned by one of his advisors.
So his fortress became his prison.
It did. His attempts to protect himself led to his downfall.
True power comes from connection.
Yes, and collaboration, not isolation.
Which brings us to understanding the people you're dealing with.
Law 19.
Okay.
Choose your battles carefully.
Right.
Know when to back down.
So knowing your opponent.
Yes.
And sometimes discretion is the better part of valor.
Exactly. Green uses Genghis Khan, ruthless conqueror, but also a shrewd strategist.
Interesting.
He sent envoys to the Shah of Khwarezm, proposing a trade agreement.
Uh-huh.
But the Shah, full of pride, rejected the offer.
Oh, no.
Even killed one of the envoys.
You don't make an enemy of Genghis Khan.
He didn't. Khan saw this as a challenge and launched a devastating invasion.
Oh, wow.
The Shah's arrogance and inability to assess Khan
led to his downfall.
Exactly. Understanding the motivations of those around you.
Especially your rival.
That's crucial.
For survival and success.
But what about our own emotions?
Okay.
How do we avoid getting caught up in the drama?
Right. All the manipulation.
Law 20.
Right.
Do not commit to anyone.
But don't we need allies to succeed?
Of course. But Green says in the game of power, it's dangerous to let your emotions cloud your judgment.
Okay.
He tells the story of Wu Zixu.
Yeah.
Advisor to King Fuchai of Wu, he was devoted to the king's success.
Yeah.
It was his downfall.
Oh.
The king decided to invade the neighboring kingdom of Yu.
Okay.
Wu Zixu was against it, but the king ignored him, accused him of treachery.
Oh, wow.
Wu Zixu, so loyal to his king, let his feelings cloud his judgment.
And he paid the price.
He did.
His loyalty blinded him.
Yes.
It's a reminder. To be careful.
Even in close relationships, keep some emotional distance.
And protect yourself.
Prioritize your own well-being.
And survival.
Sometimes the most important person to be loyal to
is yourself.
That's right. A tough lesson.
But a valuable one.
The world of power is volatile.
And unpredictable.
You have to be adaptable and strategic.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the 48 Laws of Power. We've been talking about all these dynamics of power.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is.
Oh.
How it's gained, how it's used, how we can protect ourselves.
From manipulation.
Exactly. But power isn't like a static thing, is it?
No, it's constantly in flux.
Shifting and evolving.
Green stresses the importance of adapting.
Okay.
Being able to read the power dynamics.
In any situation.
Or whether it's business or personal.
There are always these power plays happening.
Underneath the surface.
It's like this invisible game of chess.
The ones who know the rules.
They have the advantage.
Exactly.
So how do we get better at seeing these dynamics?
It starts with understanding the 48 laws.
Okay.
And how to apply them creatively.
In different contexts.
For example, Law 23.
Okay.
Concentrate your forces.
So that's about focus.
Laser focus.
Putting all your energy into one goal.
He talks about the kingdom of Wu in ancient China.
Okay.
They were powerful.
Uh-huh.
But they spread themselves too thin.
Trying to conquer too much at once.
That's exactly. Their forces were scattered.
Making them vulnerable.
Yes. And a neighboring kingdom, Yu.
Okay.
Saw this weakness.
Uh-huh.
They focused their forces on a single point.
And they won.
Decisive victory.
So even though they were smaller, they were able to win by focusing their energy.
If you chase two rabbits, you'll catch none.
Right. It's about choosing your battles.
And winning the important ones.
So this strategic focus also applies to how we present ourselves.
Which leads to Law 24.
Okay.
Play the perfect courtier.
So this is about charm and diplomacy.
It's part of it.
Okay.
But it's really about mastering social intelligence.
Okay.
Understanding those unspoken rules.
The power dynamics.
In human interactions.
Whether it's a corporate event or just hanging out with friends.
It's all the same principles.
So reading the room.
Yes.
Picking up on social cues.
Knowing how to behave.
To increase your influence.
What are the key qualities of a master courtier?
I'm curious.
Green says adaptability.
Okay.
Discretion, wit, and emotional control.
So navigating those tricky social situations.
Is it grace and deep?
Knowing when to talk, when to listen.
It's a delicate dance.
That it requires you to understand people.
Deeply.
But if you can master it.
It opens doors.
To incredible opportunities.
That's right. And that brings us to Law 25.
Okay.
Recreate yourself.
This isn't about being fake, is it?
No. It's about understanding perception.
How others see you.
And shaping that perception.
Taking control of your narrative.
He talks about Alcibiades.
Okay.
Athenian general and politician.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant but reckless.
Interesting.
He knew to achieve his goals, he had to change his image.
So what did he do?
He built a new persona,
okay,
highlighted his strengths, downplayed his weaknesses.
Even changed his look.
He essentially rebranded himself.
And it worked.
It did. The people loved him.
And he gains power and influence.
This shows us how important it is
to shape our image
and control our story.
Perception can be more powerful than reality.
Yes. But it's not enough just to project a good image.
Right. You also need to protect your reputation.
Which is Law 26.
Keep your hands clean.
Avoid even the appearance of wrongdoing.
Because a bad reputation is hard to fix.
Like a crack in a windshield, it can spread and shatter the whole thing.
He uses Cao Cao as an example.
Who's that?
A powerful general in ancient China.
Okay.
Brilliant strategist.
Uh-huh.
But very ambitious.
Okay.
He knew to stay in power.
Yeah.
He had to seem virtuous.
Even if he wasn't.
Even if his actions were questionable.
He was a master of spin.
He was. Yeah. He controlled the narrative.
So how did he do it?
He used scapegoats.
Okay.
Deflected blame.
Uh-huh.
Manipulated public opinion.
So we have to be proactive.
About managing our reputation.
And prevent others from damaging it. It's crucial.
Perception matters.
Now let's talk about something a little unsettling.
Okay.
Creating a cult-like following.
Wait, is he saying we should start a cult?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
Law 27 is about understanding
how those cult dynamics work.
Not about doing anything unethical.
Okay.
Humans have a need to believe
in something.
A cause, an ideology, a brand.
So the psychology of belief.
How do these principles work?
Yeah, how do they work?
Keep the message simple.
Okay.
Emotionally charged.
Uh-huh.
Use symbols and rituals.
Okay.
Create an us versus them dynamic.
I see.
These are tactics of persuasion.
Used in politics, marketing, even cults.
Exactly.
So we need to be aware of these techniques.
Yeah.
See how they're being used.
Seem to influence us.
To manipulate us.
And be critical.
Absolutely. Now let's shift gears.
Okay.
To a more positive use of power.
Law 28.
Okay.
Enter action with boldness.
So taking risks, seizing opportunities.
But what about self-doubt?
Right. How can you act boldly if you don't feel bold?
Green says projecting confidence is key.
Even if you don't feel it.
He uses Donatello as an example.
The artist.
Yes. Incredibly talented,
uh-huh.
But also shy and insecure.
So he struggled to get noticed.
He did. He'd lose commissions to more assertive artists.
His self-doubt was holding him back.
So he realized he had to change how others saw him.
What did he do?
Started dressing better.
Oh, okay.
Speaking with more conviction.
Yeah.
Taking on bigger projects.
Like he was already successful?
Exactly. He faked it till he made it.
And it worked.
He became one of the leading artists of his time.
So the power of self-belief.
And projecting confidence.
Our internal state.
Manifests in our reality.
But boldness without a plan can be reckless.
Exactly.
Right.
Which is why Law 29 is about
planning
all the way to the end.
Thinking ahead.
Anticipating obstacles.
Like a chess game.
Green tells the story of Vasco Núñez de Balboa.
The explorer who found the Pacific Ocean.
That's him.
His discovery was amazing.
It was.
What can we learn from him?
Well, he was bold and ambitious,
mm-hmm.
But also impulsive and short-sighted.
Okay.
He wanted the riches of the Pacific,
yeah.
But didn't think about the long term.
So he was blinded by ambition?
He didn't solidify his position.
And what happened?
He was betrayed by his rivals.
Oh, no.
And executed.
Wow.
Even great accomplishments.
Can be undone.
By a lack of planning.
So we need to think strategically.
And not let short-term gains
cloud our vision.
Exactly. Now for a tactic to enhance your power.
Okay, I'm listening.
Law 30.
Right.
Make your accomplishments seem effortless.
So don't brag.
It's about downplaying your effort.
Making it look easy.
Even if it wasn't.
So hide the struggle.
To create that aura of superiority.
Any examples?
Harry Houdini.
The escape artist.
He made it look effortless.
Right, like magic.
But it was years of practice and planning.
He knew the power of illusion.
Never revealed his secrets.
The mystery made him even more powerful.
So sometimes.
It's better to not show all your work.
Let the mystery be part of the allure.
This has been so insightful.
I agree.
Learning about all these laws of power.
They're not just about manipulating others.
Right. It's about understanding the game.
The forces at play.
In any situation.
Work or personal.
So we can protect ourselves.
Make better choices.
Increase our influence.
Knowledge is power.
It's been an amazing journey.
Through power and strategy.
Power is complex.
That can be used for good or evil.
How we use it.
Reflects our values.
And intentions.
Until next time.
keep those thoughts churning.
And stay curious.